The Lord bless you and keep you. El Señor te bendiga y te guarda. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. El Señor te mira con agrado y te extiende su amor. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. El Señor te muestra su favor y te conceda la paz. It is a beautiful morning to worship the Father. And as you know, we've been going through a series that begins with walk. Walk in love, walk in light. This morning is walk carefully. I think it's important that we as Christians understand this idea of walk because it's how we live our life. It's our manner of living, our manner of life. When Brother Mark read his text, his version says, be careful how you live, which is the understanding. Be careful how you walk. You understand that we walk or we live every minute of every day. If we live or walk every minute of every day, then our walk is important, especially when Paul tells the church at Ephesus, or God tells us, to walk carefully. Look carefully then how you walk. Understand that our direction is determined by our walk. The direction of our life is determined by how we live. We can't say one thing, or we can, it's not right, and it does, and people understand it and they see through it. When you say one thing and you behave in the complete opposite manner, you are living the opposite of what you said. And how you are living determines your direction in life, which is why we're going through this series. The first in the series was walk in love, loving each other, loving one another. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, strength, mind, and soul. And the second is like the first, love your neighbor as yourself. Walk in light. Walk in the loving light of God. Walk in a sinless lifestyle. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And this morning is walk carefully. In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 15, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. And this idea here, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, wise, this word wise, that's what I'm getting to, all right? The word wise means strict conformity to a standard or norm with focus on careful attention, accurately, carefully, well. We're supposed to live in a manner that has a strict conformity to a particular standard. And that standard is walking in light. That standard is walking in love, right? That's the standard we've been talking about. You all heard the phrase, I'll just wing it, right? We know what that phrase means. It's a phrase that we use when we don't have a plan. We can't come up with a plan. We don't want to come up with a plan to complete our objective. So we say, I'll just wing it. Some people are just winging it through life. They have no plan at all. They don't wake up in the morning with a plan of how they're going to live their life. They wake up, look in the mirror and say, I'll just wing it. Just like Calvin here is going to wing it through the next year. Proverbs 29 and verse 18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. When we don't have a plan, we just wing it. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. This Hebrew word, cast off restraint, literally means to let your hair down. That's what the Hebrew word means. But we can understand it as living in the moment, right? Living without any thought for the future. Living without any ambition. Doing whatever we want, not caring about the cost. That is casting off restraint. That is just winging it. But we can't just wing it as Christians. You know, when I was in the service, I did most of my time in the service as security forces. And part of security forces was defending the airbase. So every time we had an exercise, I had to put on all my combat gear and we had to go out and defend the airbase. And one of the ways we defended the airbase was by patrolling. Excuse me. And when you went on a patrol, you just didn't gather your squad up and go start walking. You had to plan your patrol out. You'd have to gather everybody together. You'd sit down with your map and your compass. You determine where the enemy emplacements are. You'd make a determination, well, what if we come in contact with the enemy? What do we do? What is our route going to be? This is the edge of the base, and we need to patrol a particular route so that we know. I mean, it took a lot of planning to do a combat patrol or a recon patrol. Brothers and sisters, our walk is one big, long combat patrol. We just sang the song, and we teach the kids the song. I'm in the Lord's army. Debbie, this is for you. Yes, sir. Last time I did that, I kind of did like this, and she got on my case about my salute. My salute wasn't proper, so I had to get a good one. Such is the life of a Marine, right? So, our life is one big, long combat patrol. So we have to carefully plan it out. We have to plan out our route. We have to plan out what are we going to do in case we're attacked. We have to look in front of us and say, where are the enemy emplacements so that I can avoid them? Or if I can't avoid them, how am I going to handle these attacks? And we're going to get attacked. You understand that, right? All those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus or a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. We are going to be attacked. And how we react to these attacks determines our walk. Do we have a plan in place? When Satan attacks me, this is what I'm going to do. Or I'll just wing it. When we wing it, what happens? That's when we trip up. That's when we fall into temptation. That is when Satan wins. Carefully, that word means to look around you so you don't stumble. If we're to walk carefully, then our eyes have to be open so we can see the pitfalls. We can see the things that are in our way. Another thing we did in the Air Force as a combat security forces was to set up defensive fighting positions. We had to dig foxholes. And when we dug foxholes, we had to know the lay of the land. We would get up and we would walk. Let me just read my slide. We would look for any place that the enemy could hide. And we'd mark that on our map. We would look for any place that the enemy would not be able to be shot at. We would find cover. And we'd mark that on our map. We would walk off distances so that when the enemy got to point A over there, we would know exactly how far that was, and we can set up our weapons to make sure that we struck that particular point. We would set up fields of fire. Lord knows we don't want to hit our own people, do we? So setting up, we'd also set up a final protective line. This one's important. The final protective line was the last line that if the enemy crossed that, you would retreat. But guess what was behind you? Another complete set of defensive fighting positions that you had set up. So you were protected. We can't just wing it through life. It takes planning. We have to know our fields of fire. We have to know where the enemy is. We have to know our weaknesses, so that when the enemy decides to attack, we are prepared. I've often told you that one of my weaknesses are donuts, but yet my brother continues to bring them. Where is he? No, I'm kidding. Bring them all you want. I'm good with that. So my plan is to not try and not go back to that fellowship hall. I don't want to go back there because I don't want to grab 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 donuts. That's my plan. That's how now if I do go back there, I've got to have another plan in place. That's my weakness, right? So we can't just wing it because winging it causes stumbling. And that word to stumble, that means to be drawn away from God or to lose your faith in Christ Jesus. I'm not talking about tripping and falling on your face, getting up and dust yourself off. I'm talking about stumbling to a point where we no longer think that Jesus' blood can save us. Winging it causes stumbling. So our walk must be intelligent. Our walk cannot be in ignorance. Walk not as one who is unwise, but as one who is wise. That idea of wisdom brings across discernment, does it not? To know right from wrong. Unwise is one who lacks the proper power of discernment. Foolish. And discernment is what's good, what's bad. The only way we know discernment is the Lord's will, right? Through our Bible. Ephesians 5:16 says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. So we have to discern what our best use is. How do we do that? How do we understand what the best use of our time is if we're supposed to walk carefully? Of course, we go back to the text. James 3, verses 13 through 17 says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So making the best use of time comes with good conduct, right? But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. So unwise involves jealousy and selfish ambition. Unwise involves bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts. But the wisdom from above. This is the wise walking here, right? Don't walk as somebody who is unwise, but as one who is wise. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. That's walking in wisdom. That is walking carefully. That is making the best use of our time. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful with it in thanksgiving. Prayer and thanksgiving, those are making the best use of our time. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Do you think Paul is on a theme here? Do you think he wants Christians to walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling to which they've been called? Do you think he wants us to walk in wisdom? Do you think he wants us to walk in good works? Do you think he wants us to walk pure and gentle and kind? He wants us to walk carefully. Let your speech... Walking carefully is letting your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And then the last verse in our text, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord. That one always seems so vague to me. What is the will of the Lord? I remember in school, Charles Spear, and of course that was 11 years ago, 12 years ago, but this made such an impression on me. In our class in Luke, he said there are two eternal purposes of God. The will of the Lord, two eternal purposes. Right? Our discernment, through our discernment, we understand these two eternal purposes. The first one is God wants all people to be saved. God wants every single person on the face of this earth, currently 7+ billion, He wants all of them to come to the understanding of Jesus, to come to the knowledge of repentance. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promises, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. So why hasn't God come yet? Why hasn't Jesus come to receive us? Maybe He's waiting. Because He wants us all to come to know Him. So God's first purpose is that everybody would come to the knowledge of repentance. Everybody would come to understand salvation. Therefore, because of that eternal purpose, we tell people about the mighty works of God, right? In 1 Peter 3:15, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. Walking carefully is always being ready to tell people about Jesus, because it's part of God's will, right? His twofold eternal purpose. First one is all people come to the knowledge of repentance. And to that end, we preach the gospel. Not only do we preach the gospel, but because we preach the gospel, we take up our cross daily. We no longer say, I want to do this. We now say, God wants me to do this. We die to ourselves. We renounce all the things of this world so that we could live in the kingdom with the Father. We work and we serve in the kingdom, all because God wants all people to be saved. Jesus tells us in Matthew, he says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Because God wants all people to be saved, we preach the gospel not only by our mouth, but also by our actions. The things that we do, we give glory to the Father so that people will also give glory to the Father. This is what the Lord's will is. This is us discerning what God wants us to do. He wants us to preach His gospel. He wants us to live His gospel because He wants all people to be saved. We know Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's a gift of God, not a result of works that anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's our purpose. God's purpose is that, number one, all should be saved. And to that end, our purpose is to preach the gospel and to live the gospel. Number two, He wants all people to be saved. He wants all of the saved to be more like His Son. That's His second eternal purpose. If we're looking for the will of the Lord, here it is. In Romans 8:28, we know 28 very well. I love verse 28. But we'll continue on to 29. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. For those of us who belong to the body of Christ, He wants us to be conformed to the image of His Son. To that end, what do? We preach and live the gospel. We work harder and harder every day to say things that Jesus would say, to do things that Jesus would do, to think like Jesus would think. Remember, Jesus, even though he is equal with God, didn't think being equal with God was something to be grasped. But he came into this world a man, and not just any man. He was a carpenter's son, born in a stable. Discernment. Know what the will of the Lord is. Our task is to preach and live the gospel so that all people can know about the Father through Jesus the Son. Our task is to become more like Jesus the Son. That is the proper discernment of God's will for our lives. We are His children. He has told us to walk carefully. That is how we walk. But that takes planning, doesn't it? Doesn't just happen. You just don't wing that, do you? You just can't say, oh, I'll wing it today and I'll see if I come out more like Jesus. It takes proper planning. That means you sit down with your Bible and you open it up and you read. How does God want me to behave? What are the fruit of the Spirit, and how do I increase in them? What is the wisdom of God, and how do I get that? How do I think things that are pure and gentle and peaceable and loving and kind and good? How do I increase in my faith? Well, you start by opening the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. But you got to plan that. That just didn't happen. Have you made a patrol plan? And, you know, I'm one of those that I can sit down and write it out, and that wouldn't bother me a bit. But I'm an introvert. So when I sit down and write it out, guess where it is? It's not on paper, it's right there. If you're one of the ones that needs to write it on paper, man, write it down. Write it on paper. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it on the ceiling above your bed so when you wake up and you open your eyes every morning, there it is. So that you know how you ought to walk. So that you have planned on what you will do in case you engage with the enemy. Have you made your patrol plan? Have you understood what the will of God is and what your proper place in that will is? That's important. It's important to know your place. One of the things I did in the military, and I'm stepping off my notes here, but that's okay. One of the things I did in the military after I was done being security forces was I was a first sergeant. And I was a first sergeant for a services squadron. And for those of you who don't know services, services is the gym. And so, and the dining facility and things, MWR, morale, welfare, and recreation. And those were the stepchildren, pardon the phrase. Nobody liked services. When you talked about service, oh, those are the guys that hand out basketballs at the gym. Oh, those are the guys that put that slop on your plate at the dining facility or chow hall. And it was my job to help them understand their place in the military. Do you know without the dining facility, the people don't eat? If the people don't eat, guess what? The mission is not accomplished. Do you know if the people don't blow off steam, if they don't go in and play basketball on the courts, they retain that stress. And that stress comes out physically and they end up in the doctor. And if they're at the doctor, guess what they're not? They're not doing the mission. We have to know our place. We have to know how it is we fit into God's plan and how we fit is by preaching and living His Word. How we fit is by conforming to the image of His Son. Have you called on Jesus? Have you even been added to the body of Christ? Remember, that's His first eternal purpose, that all people come to the knowledge of repentance. Have you done that? Have you said, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior? I want His blood to wash my sins away. If not, come and sit in the front. One of our elders will sit down with you, and you can tell him, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And you can have your sins washed away. And God Himself will add you to the body of Christ. Or maybe you need the prayers of the faithful. Maybe you're on this walk and you've lost sight of your plan. You've lost sight of what God's will is for you in this world. Come sit down in front. Again, one of our elders will talk to you. And you can tell him you want the prayers of the church. If you have a need, make it known while we stand and while we sing.
Oh, Master, let me walk with Thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me Thy secret.